This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Firestone Destination AT2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here ready to go on this Monday. Hour one, as we always do, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. We'll talk free agency with Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback. Russell Wilson Jr. III going to the Steelers. We'll talk about that. Baker Mayfield staying in Tampa. We'll talk about that. And Mac Jones is going to Jacksonville. We'll talk about that as well. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. It is March Madness. It's Merch Madness. We have some new hats and hoodies and T-shirts available at danpatrick.com, plus the best-selling flavors of Tailgate Moonshine available right now. And this first hour brought to you by TireRack.com, the official tire experts of the Dan Patrick Show. You can use their easy-to-use tire decision guide. You'll get to have a response in about 2 minutes or less. The right tires for how and what and where you drive. Full lineup of Kumho tires, special offers, free road hazard protection, mobile tire installation. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Play of the day, poll question, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. We will head to Los Angeles and a recap of what happened last night at the Oscars. Kevin Frazier, Nichelle Turner from Entertainment Tonight will stop by as well. They did it last year. They joined us, and they killed it. So reached out to Kevin and Nichelle Turner, who haven't been to bed yet, covering the Oscars and the post parties there as well. By the way, I haven't seen the movie Barbie. I've seen some of the movie, but watching Ryan Gosling last night sing his Ken song, I'm Just Ken, and Slash was there from Guns N' Roses. It was really well done. And I know that he's kind of a singer. I think he's got a band as well. But to get up there at the Oscars and sing like he did, got to give him a lot of credit.
He's not a fellow lacking in confidence.
He is not. He is not lacking confidence, yes. But that was that. I thought it was good. I thought the show was good. You know, Jimmy Kimmel is the host again. And a couple of surprises in there. I didn't make it all the way through Oppenheimer. I've tried a couple of times.
I won't spoil it for you.
Yeah. Don't tell me how it ends. But, so it was a good year for the movies, I think. Watched a little bit of that last night. All right, poll question. What are we going to start with, Seton?
We could start with a better quarterback signing this weekend.
Mm.
We have the Steelers possibly getting, it's agreed upon, I don't know if he's officially signed, Russell Wilson. Okay. Massive.
All right.
The Bucks signed Baker Mayfield in a move that seems to make a ton of sense for everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, the Jaguars picked up Mac Jones for a bucket of golf balls. That's pretty nice.
That's as close as you get to being released. I think it was a sixth-round draft pick. And check, is Mac Jones from Jacksonville?
A sixth-round draft pick is worth much more than a bucket of golf balls, too. I apologize
close,
to close, sixth-rounders.
Close. Yes, Paulie.
Mac Jones was born in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, there you go.
Going home.
Yeah, home field advantage.
Prodigal son.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we could throw in there... the Bills signing Mitchell Trubisky.
Okay.
But I don't know if he's
How about we just do the first two? Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield.
You want to throw Mac in there, too?
Okay. No, I mean, that's a high-end backup. So
it's a good backup quarterback to have. He's not threatening. He's not going to take anybody's job, but he's a competent young fella that you can bring along.
Yeah, I think so. As long as he's good in the quarterback room, that's the key, because you know, that was the big report. He wasn't good in the quarterback room, and I think Bailey Zappi, who's now the quarterback, well, at least right now, for the Patriots, he liked the, I guess, tweet that said that Mac Jones was going to Jacksonville. Bailey Zappi liked that. If I'm Bailey Zappi, I don't get too comfortable as the starter with the Patriots, but for right now, he's your starting quarterback with the Patriots. They basically, you know, Gerard Mayo, the Patriots' new head coach, said, how do I get rid of any remnants of Bill Belichick's team? I think he did a pretty good job so far, but now you got to go out and get a little star power there. Also, Russell Wilson going to the Steelers. I talked about this late last week where I thought that was the place where he could go and start, and he would play for a year under Mike Tomlin, where you're guaranteed the team is going to have a winning record. You do have some skilled position players, you know, potentially a couple of knuckleheads there, but, you know, you do have a talented team, and you got a good defense there. You're in a tough division. And I think Russ is a big upgrade there. I don't think he was going to Pittsburgh unless they guaranteed that he would be the starter. And to play under Mike Tomlin, you know you're going to be 9-8. You start the season, you know you're going to be 9-8 with Mike Tomlin. It just happens. He's guarantees a winning record. Now can Russ give you two wins, maybe three wins, because you're in a very tough division. And yes, the Steelers do play the Denver Broncos this upcoming season. So that's the poll question we'll start out with. Albert Breer will fill in some of the details here with these contracts, situations. And if you're Russ, you're a bargain. Didn't cost Pittsburgh money, you know, $1.2 million. No draft picks here. That's a great, great signing and a major upgrade there. And if I look at his numbers last year with Denver and I look at the starting quarterbacks, the two previous seasons in Pittsburgh, their touchdown pass totals, Russ had a better year last year than the Pittsburgh quarterbacks did the two previous years combined. It's a major upgrade. All they're asking you to do is score 21 points. That's it. I think if you check in the losses that Pittsburgh had, maybe in five or six of them, they scored 13 points or less. You score 21 with that defense, you're going to probably win a couple more games there. Now you're going to be competing for a divisional title, and this is where Russ, you know, Russ, it's almost like that Baker Mayfield situation, kind of a make or break, but Baker is a lot younger. I think he's 5 or 6 years younger. This is Russ's last go-around. You got to play well, and then maybe you get a team that will give you a 2 or 3 year deal. Or maybe he stays in Pittsburgh. I was told don't be surprised if Pittsburgh still drafts a quarterback. At where or what point in the draft, I don't know that. This person didn't know that. But the fact that Russ was visiting the Giants, the Raiders were interested. And I think there was a lot of talk when Russ was released, like, oh, nobody's going to pick him up. And I'm thinking, well, why would you say nobody's going to pick him up? He's free. I get a free quarterback, maybe a Hall of Fame quarterback in waiting at age 35 with a chip on his shoulder, and it's basically a tryout. I'm thinking, you can't lose here. And Mike Tomlin, you know, he's going to tell Russ, hey, you're not cooking, you know. We're all in the kitchen together here, Russ. You know, because there may be days where you're just getting groceries for us. There may be days when we ask you to win a game for us. But you do have a quarterback who's been in that situation before. You get a defense. You get a run-first team. And he had that in Seattle. And we know how that went. Yes, Heaton?
I wonder how many more years Russell Wilson wants to play. Well, I know how many he probably wants to play, but he's well past his prime at 35.
Yes.
He's hitting that window of this contract, maybe one more. But it's going to be a series of 1 to 2 year deals from now on. It's not going to be anything more than that.
Probably so. Probably so. But I think as a starter, this will determine if he's a starter another year.
There's a big year for him.
If he gets benched, and, you know, they have, you know, Kenny comes back in there and he's the starter, then Russ is probably got a life of Mitchell Trubisky, where you're going to be a backup quarterback, or you're going to be the seasoned veteran there with a young quarterback. But I thought this was a major upgrade. I thought that it was a no-lose situation there. That franchise, that coach, that defense, I get it. And you got some receivers there. You got a good tight end. You got a couple of good running backs there. And you got that defense there. That's a pretty good formula there and can be as balanced as any team in that division. And keep in mind, you know, you look at the quarterbacks in that division. Does anybody, any division have quarterbacks that talented top to bottom? And, you know, the AFC North, that'll be tough sledding for everybody. But I'm looking at the DraftKings odds right now, and the favorites to win the AFC North, the Ravens, then it's the Bengals, and then the Browns. Steelers are a distant fourth right now. So I got the Ravens at plus 110. I've got the Steelers at plus 1,000. This according to DraftKings. Yes, Paulie.
The Steelers last year, like you said, they were third to last in the league. From the quarterback position, they had 13 touchdown passes. Only the Panthers and the Jets were worse. If you combine Kenny Pickett's salary and Russell Wilson's salary for the 2024 season, they'll be spending $3 million on the quarterback position.
And it's you can keep Kenny because you got him under contract. And that's good for him to maybe learn with Russell Wilson. I don't know what they're doing with Mason Rudolph. But, you know, they have an upgrade there. And they did it, and it didn't cost him much. Yes, Marvin?
I'm looking at the Steelers' opponents for 2024. The Steelers at the Denver Broncos this season.
Yeah.
Which week? Time will tell. We don't know yet. The schedule hasn't come out yet, but what a grudge match.
Tribute video.
Okay. Do the Broncos do a tribute video to Russell Wilson when he comes back?
It'd be short.
All right. Todd, would you have a tribute video to Russ with your Broncos?
Not only will they not have a tribute video, I'm curious to see how badly he is booed when he comes running out onto the field.
Why would they boo him?
Because he was just part of a disastrous last couple of years, even though he improved his second year of the 2 years. I think he's going to be, they're going to give it to him a little bit.
Okay. But if you said that Russ will give you the same numbers in Pittsburgh that he did in Denver, I think Pittsburgh would take that. I think they'd sign up for that. This is what I was told by a source yesterday, that, you know, part of the knock on Russ is, and there's a lot of, you know, knocks on Russ, that he takes too many sacks, that a lot of times it's not the offensive line's problem, it's Russ's problem. You got to make sure that you're not taking those sacks and you're not committing turnovers with Mike Tomlin. If he does that, then I think that you're going to have a major upgrade. But Russ is part of the problem with these sacks. Now he's got to be part of this solution there. We do have March Madness and NCAA bids, and as we like to say, they punch their ticket. Stetson, Longwood, Drake, and Morehead State. Yes, Paul.
Some bonus coverage on Russell Wilson. He's been sacked 527 times in his career. He's only, I think he's like less than 40 sacks behind Tom Brady for the all-time record. So he has to play at least two more seasons to get the record.
Yeah, and that goes back to he creates a lot of these sacks because he holds on to the ball, trying to extend a play. And sometimes you just have to fold up your tent, throw the ball away. All right, we'll get to phone calls coming up. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked. I spent the weekend in Tucson, Arizona.
How's that?
It was wonderful. We're big in Tucson.
You know, in all seriousness, when we got started years and years ago, they were one of our first affiliates, and we used to do great, crazy numbers there.
It's great, great people, and I was out there for their Festival of Books. Over 100,000 people Saturday and Sunday come in. Over 300 authors, and I was out there with Joel Cohen, the co-writer of the football book that we had. And there were a lot of questions about Fritzy. A lot of people wearing T-shirts affiliated with the show. People wanted to know about Marvin's hands. You know, the usual stuff there. But thank you, Tucson, for hosting me. Had a great time. Met a lot of great people there as well. So, Seton, we're going to go with that question. Better signing, Baker Mayfield, Tampa, Russell Wilson, Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's go around the room, and I'll ask you guys. Todd, Baker Mayfield returning to Tampa, and we've talked about a team-friendly deal. I think that's what Baker Mayfield gave Tampa and vice versa. Like, it's a team-friendly deal. He's going to make $50 million guaranteed, but he didn't price himself out of the market, and a lot of these quarterbacks do, or their agents do, and I think there's a sweet spot that for some of these quarterbacks where you go, look, I'm not Mahomes. You know, I'm not Josh Allen. I got to find that sweet spot and then maybe I can stay with his team. And that, I think, what happened with Baker Mayfield. I think it's a really, really smart deal for both of them. All right, Todd, Baker Mayfield, Tampa, or Russell Wilson Jr. III in Pittsburgh?
I think there's far fewer question marks by what we saw with Baker than the what we may or may not get with Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. So I got to go Baker staying with the Bucs.
All right, Seton O'Connor.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Baker. It seems like a deal that makes sense to everybody, both sides. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of like it. It appears that it was like, why are we going to make this more complicated than we need it to be? Like, Baker, is this money good for you? Because this works for us and we can build a better team. Great. All right, everybody, we're good. Let's go. Move on.
And you got Mike Evans. You're able Absolutely. To keep Mike Evans as well. All right, Marvin?
I'm going to go Baker in Tampa. Better contract, easier division.
Mm.
So I'm going to go with Baker.
Okay, Paulie?
I'll go with the Steelers because I think there's more upside. The Steelers were close last year, and that division's really tough, but they improved by doing nothing, by spending nothing, by giving up no draft capital.
Yeah, I'm going to go Pittsburgh with the potential upside to it, that if you know you're going to get at least 9 wins, because it happens every year with Mike, then can Russ add 2 more, and you get to 11 wins. Well, now you're competing for maybe a home field advantage. Now, and with that roster, like, which one is more threatening come playoff time? You know, Tampa's good. Pittsburgh could be great. The big question will be how Russ adapts to that offense. You know, they got rid of Canada, their offensive coordinator that everybody said, you know, he's the reason why we struggle. They still struggled even without him. And I think if you get 21 points a game with that defense, you can pencil in at least 11 wins. Yes, Marvin.
Do you think the Steelers can make a real run at best in the AFC? Like, at best, do you think they can make a real run?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's keep in mind Deshaun Watson got injured with the Browns. Joe Burrow got injured. And Baltimore ran away with the division. You had help last year. Can you get help again this year? Yes, Todd.
So our DraftKings odds from earlier, that was after Russell Wilson was announced to go to Pittsburgh.
I believe so.
Which has them at distant fourth, and we already have them at maybe winning 10, 11 games, and they could be last place in their own division.
I asked the intern, Ray, to see if he could find out if DraftKings gave us those odds after Russell Wilson signed. He's working on that. Some of my best people in the back are working on that. Okay. Anything else that needs to be mentioned here? Everybody good? Yes, Eaton.
Dang, Ray the intern?
Yeah. Well, I didn't really have a title for him.
You don't? You've been here for like 2 years.
I know, but he feels like an intern. Like production assistant, Ray?
Oh, hey, all right. That feels nicer.
Is that official?
I guess.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah.
Wait, DP, PA Ray?
PA Ray.
PA Ray.
Picture day PA Ray.
He was P-Day. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Albert Breer, our good buddy, the Monday Morning Quarterback, will join us coming up here. We'll get phone calls as well. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments, to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
If you're watching on Peacock this morning, and why wouldn't you be? You got a little treat during the commercial break on radio as we unveiled the newest addition to the Man Cave. RC, our street artist who came in here, and he's done all the beautiful work out there. We have Caitlin Clark and Steph Curry going one-on-one with each other. So the newest addition there, I want to thank him. He did that over the weekend.
It's quick.
We have all of the great matchups that never happened with Shaq versus Wilt Chamberlain and Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Also, Jackie Robinson, Babe Ruth, and Tom Brady and Lawrence Taylor. So we have a beautiful man cave there out there in the basketball area of the Man Cave. I want to thank him for the artwork, the great stuff that he's done over the years. All right, we'll get to phone calls, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Operator Tyler standing by for that. We'll give you ours as well. We'll head to Hollywood coming up a little bit later on in the show with the fallout from the Academy Awards. But we bring in Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback. Always great to talk to him. And Albert, let me start with our poll question today. Better quarterback signing, Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, Baker Mayfield back in Tampa.
I mean, I think it's Baker Mayfield because we know Baker Mayfield's going to be the starter. And, you know, I think it's a affirmation that the gamble that they took and that Baker took on himself in 2023 was the right one. Russell Wilson is a total dice roll. You know, they set very clear expectations when he came in there for the visit. You know, he had some things that he wanted that he didn't get, and he wound up doubling back to them and signing with them in the end. So I think he wanted to be in Pittsburgh. But this is very much a no risk proposition for the Steelers. If it goes the wrong way, they can pull the plug at any point, and he hasn't been given any assurances of anything. So, you know, this is, I think, for him, a chance to prove that he's changed over the last few years and that he's willing to come in and compete for a starting job. And I think, you know, for the Steelers, it's really time with Kenny Pickett, right? Like, and so this gives you a real chance to have your litmus test with Kenny Pickett. Like, can he go back and win his job back and show the Steelers that he may still be worth building around long term?
And the Broncos have to pick up the tab. So Pittsburgh didn't give up any draft picks, and they're going to pay him $1.2 million. That's why I like the deal. I think the potential upside in Pittsburgh is greater than the potential upside in Tampa. And that's why I would opt with, it didn't cost you anything. You're going to take a chance with Russ. you got to keep up with the other quarterbacks in your own division. And it just feels like with Mike Tomlin, that defense, you know, can Russ help you win a couple more games where you end up with 11 or 12?
I don't disagree with you on like the point that, you know, Tomlin's going to work to get the most out of him. I think Arthur Smith, their new offensive coordinator, will be able to build something that can work for Russell should he win the job. I just think that there's a likelihood, not a likelihood, I would say a good possibility that, you know, we're going into 2025 and the Steelers are looking for a quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, like, but I think Russ is looking at it and saying, look, I got a chance to get that next contract. It might not be in Pittsburgh, but I get a chance to showcase my talents.
And I think and I've used this example with you before, Dan, but I think like what the Buccaneers have done for themselves is they've created themselves some more runway, right? Like where it's, okay, so could we draft one this year? Yeah, we could draft one. Like say Bo Nix or Michael Penix falls to us in the second round and we really like them. Yeah, we can do that. Or we can wait a year or two. And again, I've used this example with you before, but it's Alex Smith in Kansas City. You know, Alex Smith was a really good quarterback for the Chiefs, but he also bought them a lot of time to find Patrick Mahomes. And so like this, you know, for the Bucs, I think doesn't just help them right now. It also gives them a few years of runway where they don't have to force it with a young quarterback in the draft. Because as you and I both know, when you start forcing it in the draft, that's how EJ Manuel goes 16th overall. That's how Christian Ponder goes 12th overall, right? The Bucs are in a place now where for the next few years, they don't have to force anything, which is a good place to be when you're looking for a young quarterback. And I mean, who knows? Maybe Baker Mayfield winds up becoming the long-term answer after all.
Okay. I thought that Kirk Cousins was going to be the first domino, and Russ, you know, has moved up ahead of the class. So where's that leave Kirk Cousins? What are his options?
Yeah, Atlanta's very interested. I expect that Atlanta is going to make a very strong push to get him, and they've got like great, they've got great connections to him in that building. Raheem Morris was with Kirk Cousins in Washington in 12, 13, and 14. You know, Zach Robinson, the new offensive coordinator there, was the right-hand man of Kevin O'Connell in Los Angeles before O'Connell became the Minnesota coach. So for Cousins, there's scheme carryover there too. He can step right in, and he knows the system that Zach Robinson's going to be putting in. And he's got a really good offensive line in front of him there if he goes there, and Bijan Robinson behind him and Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and here we go. You know, so I think Kirk's going to have two very good options in front of him. And I will say this, he is the big domino in the quarterback market, regardless of what happened with Mayfield, regardless of what happened with Russell. And the way I look at it, you know, like I know it's going to sound weird, but this isn't all about money for him. This is, I think, about someone making a commitment to him being the starting quarterback for the next 2 or 3 years. And when they were negotiating a long-term deal with the Vikings a year ago, the Vikings were unwilling to guarantee money past 2024. And, you know, Kirk took that, and rightfully so, I think, as a, okay, well, you know, like that means you're not willing to commit to me as your starter more than a year past my existing contract. You know, I think the structure of the contract is going to be just as important as the money here, where if you're Minnesota or Atlanta, it's going to be how far out am I willing to give Kirk the financial assurances that will make him believe that he's going to be our starting quarterback in, say, 2025 or 2026. I think that'll be a deciding factor here. And, you know, obviously Minnesota had drawn a hard line a year ago, and they've communicated to Cousins' camp that they're not willing to go where they've gone twice now, which is to 3-year fully guaranteed deals. We'll see how the rest of the day plays out.
He's Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback. I'm wondering with the Falcons, if they don't get Kirk Cousins, that he stays in Minnesota, does that open the door then Justin Fields would go to it? Yes. Like what's the mark? Is that what's holding up Justin Fields? What he's going to do?
So like when the Bears were really aggressive in scouting Caleb Williams, right? Like they went like with the All-Star games in January, like Ryan Poles instructed his scouts. Every time you talk to a USC player, every time you talk to an Oklahoma player, every time you talk to a player who's from the Washington DC area, you ask them about Caleb Williams. And they tried to get him in for his 30 visit last week. Now, the timing didn't quite work out, but the intention was to get him in last Tuesday for his 30 visit. All of this is an expedited timeline in evaluating a quarterback. They did that because they want to check all the boxes on Caleb so they'd be the they'd be cleared to offload Justin Fields. Now, you know, I think the plan there had been with the idea that there's no better time than right before free agency to offload Justin Fields, because that's when the most quarterback openings across the NFL. The problem for them became that some of these veteran quarterbacks, your Kirk Cousins, your Baker Mayfields, your Russell Wilsons, were stopping up the market. And so with those guys coming off the market now, I think the hope is that things will clarify a little bit. I'd expect if the Falcons strike out on Cousins for there to be an interest in Justin Fields. The owner really liked him when they looked at him 3 years ago. The general manager there, Terry Fontenot, same thing. So I think the Falcons will be a suitor. With Pittsburgh off the table, I'm just not sure how many more suitors there are going to be than just Atlanta. So I think my personal opinion is that the Bears might have to compromise from a price tag standpoint a little bit to move him off the roster. And I find the conclusion that I think everybody's been seeking for the last few weeks.
If I told you 2 years ago Mac Jones would be dumped for a sixth round pick a couple of years later...
I don't know if I would have thought that was that crazy. You know, I will say this, Dan, like they shopped him around last year a little, and this was about the price last year, believe it or not. And I think to me, like, at least this is all about upside, right? Like this is all about like, how can you envision getting the most out of this guy? Like with Justin Fields, say you acquire Justin Fields, there's so much athletic upside there that you can envision something. Like, can you envision him becoming Jalen Hurts down the line? Like, right? Like, you can probably close your eyes and envision that. May not be likely, but you can probably close your eyes and envision that, right? What's the upside with Mac Jones?
He had a good rookie year.
And that's the problem, right? Like, but that's the problem is, like, you can't, it's really hard to take a player like that and say, all right, like, I believe he can be X or Y or Z, who's a great quarterback in the NFL. It's really hard to do that. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be a good quarterback in the league, but even Baker Mayfield, like, you know, Baker's not the most physically gifted player, but I'd say he's, you know, significantly more talented physically than Mac Jones, you know? So that's the problem that the Patriots had. And, you know, they made the decision at the combine, or finalized the decision at the combine. They were going to do this. They went and talked to Mac Jones a week ago, asked him what he wanted, but they, you know, emphasized their intention to move him off the roster. And here's the crazy thing about it. So I believe the Jaguars offered the sixth back on Friday, right? On Saturday, the Patriots shopped that offer across the NFL to see if they could five anywhere, and they couldn't get a five. And you remember going back a couple of years, right, with San Francisco, how much we thought San Francisco was in on Mac Jones, right?
Yeah.
The Niners wouldn't do it. The Niners have 11 picks this year, Dan, and they wouldn't beat the six that the Jaguars sent off. And you know how these teams sometimes hang on to their draft evaluations. So it's just sort of the way that the league views him. And I'm not saying he can't be a good quarterback in the NFL. Like, I think he's got a lot to work with. And I think it's a smart trade for the Jaguars, because the Jaguars could be looking at this in 4 months and there could be a couple of quarterback injuries in some places and they may be able to flip him for a better pick. You know what I mean? Like, so it could really work out for them that way. But I think the physical limitations limited his market.
Is there a running back who is the person in front with the dominoes that when he goes, that changes everybody?
God, I am so fascinated to see what happens with the running back stand, because to me, isn't this a litmus test? You know what I mean? For where the running back position is. Think about this, right? Okay, not a very good draft class. In fact, the best player at that position in the draft class might be the Texas kid who's coming off the torn ACL, Jonathan Brooks, right? So that's number one. So there aren't great answers in the draft this year, at least as it sets up right now. You have a team who played in the Super Bowl who had the highest paid running back in the league on the roster, right, in Christian McCaffrey. So now there's proof that, like, hey, you can win with a running back making $16 million a year. And then you look at the market, and it's Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift. So there are big names out there. So if it's ever going to happen, this is the year, right? Wouldn't it be? Yeah. If you look at, like, all the market conditions, and yet – I can't find anybody who thinks that more than maybe one or two of these guys is going to get eight figures, you know, get into the $10 million a year range. And the I'd say, like, you know, you look at the overall makeup of the group and it's like, okay, like, well, what are teams looking for? I think the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield is a big part of it. And that's why I think Saquon's probably the first one, the first domino to fall, because he does have that versatility. He's not what Christian McCaffrey is, in the passing game, but close enough, right? Like, where he can offer somebody something in that area on top of what he is as a runner. But think about this. He's going into his seventh year. I mean, like, how much can you gamble on a running back at that age, you know? So I, like I said, I'm fascinated to see the way this plays out, because I think there are so many things that set up for this to be the right year for someone to pay a running back, and yet there's a lot of doubt that it's actually going to happen.
Always great to talk to you. I know you're busy this week. Thanks for joining us, Albert.
All right, thanks, Dan.
That's Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback. I've been saying all along that when the Giants decided that they weren't going to tender an offer for Saquon Barkley, that it felt like he was going to go to the Cowboys. Now I get the feeling that even though he would be better for the Cowboys in the run and passing game, that the Cowboys will look at Derrick Henry. Love Derrick Henry as a player, as a person, but that makes me a little bit nervous that you have Derrick Henry. What's he going to cost you? Can he help Dak Prescott? But it feels like, and Dallas doesn't have a lot of money to play with here. Now, I know Jerry says he's all in this offseason, but I don't know how all in you could be and try to keep everybody, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, happy and improve your roster here. I just think it's going to be hard for Jerry to pass up. You know, he loves the shiny objects. I keep saying that because he does. And this is a situation where you're going to go, I can get Saquon Barkley. I could hurt, you know, the team in my division, even though the Giants kind of hurt themselves. I know somebody had mentioned Philadelphia. I think the Ravens are in the running for Saquon Barkley, no pun intended. I think that might be a landing spot there as well. But the Raiders and Josh Jacobs, does that relationship stay? There's a lot of talented running backs. I don't know if we'll ever get to this point again with this many free agent running backs that are quality running backs, because I just don't know what the position is going to be like moving forward, where you would have five or six truly talented running backs that are going to be available. And is somebody going to pony up $10 million a year? That's probably what it's going to take. All right, play of the day and then phone calls coming up after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
More phone calls coming up. They are the stars of entertainment tonight. Kevin Frazier, Nichelle Turner joining us. They were covering the Oscars, the red carpet, backstage. Great to have them on again, looking gorgeous as always, and Kevin as well. And thank you for joining us. Nichelle, let me start with you. The highlight of the night was who or what?
Well, Dan, here's the thing. I'm a little, like, verklempt that the highlight of the night for me was the I'm Just Ken performance by Ryan Gosling. Kudos to the Ken doll that you got there. Because think about it, Dan, the Barbie movie was about the patriarchy and how as women we always have to take the backseat to men and we always want to be liked and we have to twist ourselves into a pretzel to be seen. And we're talking about Ken this
All
morning.
Award season you've been talking about, Ken. All award season.
But it was phenomenal. I mean, the way Ryan leaned into the absurdity of it all was just incredible.
I can't imagine how he felt in that moment because that crowd, not easy to entertain that crowd.
No.
But you're right. He leaned into the campiness of it, and then you bring Slash out there with his guitar solo, and I thought it was... I thought I was going to cringe, and then it was done, and I go, damn, they pulled it off. What about
Incredible.
You, Kevin?
We've been waiting all award season for that moment, and we've asked Ryan so many times about it, and everybody involved, and everybody has been, it's been mummed the word. But as we saw all the Kens coming down the carpet, we knew something was up. And the famous Kens, we were like, okay, here we go. Mark Ronson just came out and told us it's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, he said the gig is up, the Kens are here, we're about to wreck the stage.
Yeah, and Valerie Bertinelli was gushing about Wolfgang Van Halen, her son, so she just told us everything too. So I thought that was a great moment. I also loved the John Cena moment because the fact that he leaned into being naked. I mean, I was like, John, are you naked? I mean, he did have on a little something. It was, Nichelle is calling it underwear, but I'm calling
it like a banana hammock, Dan.
It was, Dan, there was barely nothing there.
Yeah, that's what the man had on.
There was nothing there.
It was flesh-colored, a little bikini, string bikini underneath it. But they had it placed very low. I didn't know what was happening behind that envelope.
Well, you are a great reporter, so I'm sure... Sure, you investigated.
I was. If I'm being honest, I was trying to get a peek.
Okay. So was I.
Right. Yeah. Everybody was. Everybody wanted to know what was going on.
The man wore Birkenstocks on the Oscar stage. I mean, how do you know?
Okay. Now we discussed. Was it a little desperate on his part? I felt like if I had a body like that and I had a moment like that, and I basically wear a Speedo to work when I wrestle.
Right.
So this wasn't much of a change for him, but...
The man had muscles on muscles. If I had a body like that, y'all couldn't tell me nothing. I'd be walking around here
I just want to say this.
Dental floss and high heels. You couldn't tell me nothing.
And Nichelle, here's the funny thing. It is heyday. Dan would have rocked that. If they had said, hey, Dan...
Oh, you know Dan would have done it.
He would have done on a 6 o'clock sports... On a 6 o'clock sports... Dan, you're going to do it just to mess with Keith. Just to mess with Keith.
No, the 11 o'clock I would have done it. Not the 6 o'clock, Kev.
The kids were still up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. 11
you
o'clock.
He said the 11 o'clock. He didn't say the late night 2 a.m. sports...
No, I don't want to... Like, no. I'd be asleep.
He never had to do that.
I'd be asleep. But.
So wait, what was that? What did you guys think? Do you guys believe it was a little desperate? Was it split? Over there,
okay.
The
who thought it was desperate? Seton
thought it was desperate.
It's a little desperate.
Seton and Marvin thought it was a little desperate. Yeah,
he's not comfortable with him. Seton's not comfortable with himself. That's what I'm wondering.
I'm actually more comfortable with myself. I don't have to walk around naked all the time to get all this attention. I'm very secure in myself.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, John Cena he said people can see him. You know, he says you can't see me. Yes, you can. You can see it all tonight.
And they saw it all.
Absolutely. Is Oppenheimer an all-timer?
No. No, I'll be on. I'll come. I'm going to come around. It's a movie about physicists, first of all.
Right.
And they made a very, very good movie, but it is not one of those movies I feel that will last and hold up with time. I feel that American Fiction will get better with time. Mm-hmm. I feel that Barbie will always be a campy, fun movie the kids will discover over and over again. Those two really stuck out.
Okay, can I tell the can I tell the truth the day after this, since we're done pretty much with award season? It took me two times to get through Oppenheimer.
I haven't gotten through yet, Nichelle.
Okay. No. It took me twice to get through it. Christopher Nolan knows how to make a movie. So you appreciate it for what it is, because the man just knows how to make movies, right? But it was a little tough for me to get through. And I had, you know, Poor Things for me was my favorite movie of the year. I thought it was incredible. It was bawdy. It was campy. It had message. Emma Stone was ridiculously good. It was original.
Hmm.
And so it was, I'm a little biased because I leaned into that heavily.
And we have we have debated about that heavily on our set about that movie. But I do think that Christopher Nolan knows how to make movies for the critics, that the critics love.
Well, but that man made The Dark Knight.
Love. Like, the voters love. And that Dark Knight got a lot of love.
He made Memento. Come on. I mean,
got a lot of love.
You know, yeah, and they're great movies.
Yeah, but he made $1 billion. Like, that's different than making something for the critics.
No.
Barbie made $2 billion, and he wrote off the bat. They were right when they said that Barbie surfed the wave. I mean, that Oppenheimer surfed the wave that Barbie laid down. You have to remember, they wanted to get people back to the movie theaters.
And
so they put them together. They put those movies together.
Tom Cruise showed up with the two movie tickets and said, I'm going to see them both in one night. So that was like a Tom Cruise creation to get people back to the movies.
But it became Barbenheimer.
Because of Tom Cruise.
Well, it was also genius marketing by the company. Everybody leaned into it. They were like, go see both of these. Go back to the movies. We want you back.
He's Kevin Frazier. She's Nichelle Turner, Entertainment Tonight co-host.
We're having an argument on the Dan Patrick
show. I like that. I like that. American Fiction.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Incredible movie.
I watched it in a theater in New York. I was the only person in there.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And I didn't know much about it. I came out, I've told everybody, even people who don't want to hear, I've just said, it is so sneaky great, and it's not fair to say it's sneaky, it's just great. And I came out of that movie and I went, damn, they told a story. They told a story in a way.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, he did a wonderful job, and that's the movie that you're kind of rooting for. It was underdog.
His first movie, 40-year-old kid like guy making his first movie, and
wins an Oscar.
Right, and he takes like the perennial great character actor in Jeffrey Wright and makes him a leading man in this movie, and they tell the tale of the American experience that a lot of us have that we just don't see on screen.
And Sterling K. Brown in this
movie.
Oh my God, it was
such a departure. and you know what? You watched him. He was so emotional at the show. He has been emotional about that role all award season long because it is a special role to him.
I mean, it was such a word of mouth movie. And when I came out of it, I'm like, how come nobody told me Sterling K. Brown just stole everything about this
movie?
Every
scene.
No one told me he was that great. He was like under the radar through a lot of the award season, and then all of a sudden it was like, boom, here's an Academy Award nomination for you.
And Jeffrey Wright was wonderful as well. I really enjoyed it. Who got snubbed last night? Biggest snub was who or what?
Okay, well, Lily Gladstone. I thought it was a moment.
Yeah, we'll fight about this.
It was a moment to fix what happened at the Academy Awards back when Sasheen Littlefeather was snubbed for grabbing Marlon Brando's or not accepting Marlon Brando's Best Actor Award.
Yeah.
And here you have a great story, an important story, and an important moment. And I thought that Lily Gladstone should have won. And you loved Emma Stone in that role.
I thought Emma Stone was the best performance of the season in any movie. And this is why art is subjective. Yes, Killers of the Flower Moon is an important movie that needed to be told and was told very well. They did an amazing job in that. And we need to still tell the story of the indigenous people and what they went through in this country. I just don't. Either way, I thought it would have been great. I mean, I didn't, so I don't think it was a snub. I don't think it was an upset. I think it was just a pick. And they were both incredible performances. Lily Gladstone was the heart and soul of that movie.
Yeah.
But Emma Stone, like, she took a blank canvas and created something we had never seen.
Okay, but how can you say that, and then we look at Greta Gerwig standing in the front row, not even getting nominated, and she created an incredible world for Barbie, an incredible Barbie world.
Yes, but the prototype was there, and if you are a little girl who grew up in the Barbie world and also who grew up in this country, that story has been told. She magnified it and brought us the story of the patriarchy, but it wasn't a new
tale. We're still talking about Ken. Look how we're still talking about Ken.
Well, but that's what the movie was
about.
And
the Frankenstein story is not new. It's just a twist.
But that wasn't the Frankenstein story.
Basically.
It was not the Frankenstein
story. See, this is what I want to tune into on Entertainment Tonight. Like E.T. After Hours, where you're really being honest instead of...
This is what you get from us for real.
No,
on a daily basis.
And our sports takes are better.
I was going to say, especially when we're talking about sports.
We talk about sports? Ooh.
Dan, this is the best time of the year coming up, March Madness.
Come on.
Wait,
come on,
is now. This better than in the fall? So
yes.
If I gave you September, let's say I gave you October, or okay. I gave Ooh. You March, okay. April. I'll give you March, Dang. April.
Baseball was my first love, so that's tough, but... I grew up loving college sports so much, and especially college basketball. I grew up, you know, in a college town. And so for me, for this is my time of year.
Okay. Jan, to explain how much she loves college sports, she's a season ticket holder at Mizzou
for basketball. And basketball and volleyball and baseball now.
Yes. Okay, so she's deep in it. I mean, especially the way they're handling things in the SEC right now. It ain't pretty.
Yeah.
But anyway, I do want to say March Madness trumps everything, because this year especially, mm-hmm. there is so much parity in college basketball. Anybody can come from anywhere. You look at, like, USC beating Arizona in the Pac-12 in the Pac-10 tournament, which, I mean, bye-bye Pac-10.
And the women's game is ridiculously great
basketball.
Right now.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Shout out to my guy, Vic Schaefer, and what he is doing at Texas, losing his best player, and they are still rolling through the Big 12. Shout out to them. Caitlin Clark, the LSU South Carolina game. I mean, the women's game is incredible right now.
It is. It's better than the men's game in college basketball.
It is. But they stay. So we're familiar with these players as the men.
Good point.
One and done. Okay.
Good point.
Thanks for joining us. I'm not sure what we solved here, but we got to spend time together. And one of these.
Dan, which one did you like better, Lily Gladstone or Emma Stone?
Lily. I was shocked that she did not win, and I think she was shocked that she didn't win as well.
She did, and we did see behind the scenes Martin Scorsese go up to her and console her after, you know, the announcement, because she was. I mean, of course you're going to be heartbroken and dejected. They had watch parties in her hometown for her. I mean, of course it's going to happen.
I'm being yelled at.
Oh, sorry.
By somebody on your end that I have to go.
These guys, we're on Dan's show.
Kevin Frazier is the boss over here.
We're on Dan's show,
all I know
guys.
Is
we're on the Dan Patrick show. Come on
this
now.
This is the patriarchy. What? The men
Dan,
run
we're
the
about
show
to play
here.
The music, like a speech that goes on too long.
Oh, that kind of music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like you're going too long with your speech there.
Exactly.
Dan, but we will. I am mourning this morning the law, Lily Gladstone's loss. I
understood. I get it.
And that's it. We'll say goodnight. and one of these days, Kevin, I'm going to be on Entertainment Tonight with Nichelle for one show.
Okay. Come
All
on.
Right?
Please.
While
tomorrow?
I come and do the day,
you do
I come
the
and
show.
Do show.
You do I'll the do show, show. And I'm going to be on Entertainment
How
Tonight.
How about you come and do the show with Kevin and I come do your show?
Well,
oh wow!
Heck yeah,
that's kind of that's awkward. I'd love for you to do it, but I would prefer to co-host with you, Nichelle.
Dan, you co-hosted with men
your
life.
I know.
What's the problem?
I know.
Don't disrespect Keith and Stu and Rich and me. And
all right, we gotta go, and that is it. And we say goodbye, Nichelle and Kevin. Thank you. They're still talking. They're still talking. They were telling, see you guys. They were giving us a rap, you know, like, come on, like, tell them to shut up. I go, okay, tell them to shut up. Kevin Frazier, Nichelle Turner. Whew. Yeah. I have to admit, didn't get through the killers of the Flower Moon. I didn't get through Oppenheimer, and I didn't make it through Barbie. Not exactly, and I am a member of the Screen Actors Guild.
And they do send me these movies. Yes, Mark.
We should have Nichelle and Kevin come back for college basketball analysis because they look like they could have stayed for another hour and talked.
Yes, Paul.
Okay, I saw the movie Oppenheimer. Now, it's a very deep topic, and it's a slow burn, and it takes a long time. Is there a difference between great filmmaking and enjoyable movies?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Because I respect the heck out of that
movie. How many movies can you watch again?
Remember the Elvis movie you guys recommended a couple years ago? Is it Baz Luhrmann?
Yeah.
I didn't recommend that.
Okay. I think Fritzy did. I think that's exceptional filmmaking. I don't think I'd watch it again, and I didn't love it, but I was really impressed by what he put together. I'm really impressed. Yeah. But I didn't love the story. It didn't advance the story for me about Elvis.
I didn't like Tom Hanks in that movie.
I kind of like Tom Hanks.
Yeah. I guess the prosthetic, that he, like his face and look like.
What if I said that was Tom Hanks?
Yeah, Tom Parker. Yes. Yes, he.
Yeah, Oppenheimer is a great movie to watch. Like, it's great filmmaking. But it's a tough slog to get through. Like, I just went this weekend to go see Dune 2.
Yeah.
And because I wanted to see it on a big screen, like IMAX or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was great. It was slow and, like, just, it took forever. It was a long-ass movie. But it was enjoyable, and it looked great. It was, like, this great piece of filmmaking. But, man, is it, a three-hour movie is a long time to sit through.
Okay. It feels like that there's stuff that we'll see on Netflix that are series. And then we have long movies. Feels like three-hour movies, or you have something that's chopped up into eight episodes.
It's like movies haven't figured out how to compete with series right now. And so instead, like, a series will give you a great 45 to hour 15, and it always leaves you hanging where you're like, dang, I got to get the next one. And then you're binge watching. And I can easily sit and watch 3 hours of a TV show going episode, episode, episode than I can through a 3 hour movie because they're not structured the same way. It's like a 3 hour movie. It doesn't have a hook or a twist or a turn at every 60-minute mark that keeps you like, oh, my God, I can't believe that just happened. Now I have to sit here for the next hour.
Well, a number of these shows, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, always had something that, okay, I could watch for 30 minutes, and then it gave me a reason to want to come back and watch the next episode. You don't really have those twists in a movie where you have to wait because it's all right there. It's just one big serving as opposed to, hey, a bite-sized portion here. I'll come back. Come back. Maybe you have to wait a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, like Breaking Bad would be 46 minutes and the end would have a crescendo and leave you wanting to watch another 46 minutes. A three-hour movie, there's a lot of setup.
Yes, Todd.
Does the Academy think the longer the better, or do the movie companies think that that's the better chance to win an award? Like when we were kids in school, if you write a 10-page paper, you're going to get an A, even if it's all about quantity and not quality sometimes?
I don't know.
Seems like they take those more seriously. Oh, it's a 3-4 hour epic. This must have a little more weight than your regular hour and 38-minute movie.
Oppenheimer made $1 billion. So somebody was interested in sitting for 3 hours. Yes, Eden.
And, you know, not for nothing, but, like, it was just me and my son, and the tickets were $40. And then we each got a soda and a popcorn, and that was $40. So it's kind of like, well, at least we got 3 hours of movie out of it. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
To me, that's not cheap. That's an expensive day out, you know?
Yep. Marvin, did you have something to say?
Yeah, when you're, like, a big-time actor, say, like, a
hello.
Oh, obviously, like a Brad Pitt, a Sandler, or anybody like that, Leonardo DiCaprio. Do you think those guys are looking for, all right, we did the big popcorn movies that made a bunch of money. Am I ready to, I'm looking for a Oscar-type performance, like in a movie.
Well, I think Sandler is. I think he's, you know, he's done all of these Sandler-like movies. That's why he's working with other people. And he should have been nominated for Uncut Gems. He was spectacular in that movie.
That's another movie that's, it's very good.
I don't know if I could watch it again.
I didn't enjoy the film. It's not something I want to watch again.
That was tense. Uncut Gems. That was tense. All right. Let me take a break. I don't know what we solved here, but, like some of the movies, we spread it out, went a little bit longer than we needed to. So let's take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learned, what's in store tomorrow, right after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.